Welcome to the latest edition of the CPE RICS Report, the quarterly discussion with RICS Chief Economist Simon Rubinson about the results of the RICS Global Commercial Property Monitor. I'm Suzanne Silverman, Editorial Director with Commercial Property Executive. Simon, thanks for joining me again.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Suzanne.
Simon, throughout our discussions last year, optimism seemed to be growing, especially regarding the European markets, while concern was building about Asia and the emerging markets. We also talked about overpricing in many markets, including the U.S. So what was the story in the fourth quarter?
Well, in many respects, those same themes continued to play out. Interestingly, of course, looking at it with the benefit of some hindsight, we've had a significant amount of turmoil in financial markets since the start of the year, which I think, if anything, will help to solidify some of the feedback that we received to this survey, which was, say, conducted just at the back end of 2015. That seemed to place a premium on those markets where economic activity was fairly well embedded and continuing to grow in what is perceived to be a relatively sustainable way, and also those markets which certainly in parts of Europe are recovery stories, having been so badly hit during the downturn following the onset of the global financial crisis.
Overall, do you see the story as being more positive than negative?
I think overall, I would view the results as being generally reasonably positive. Clearly, the turmoil in markets that has really been such a major story in the early part of 2016 threatens to have an impact on the global economy and, by implication, global real estate. Nothing can be taken for granted at this point. That said, we've seen updated forecasts from the IMF on its expectations for global growth, and it continues to take the view that the global economy, or certainly large parts of it, should be able to maintain a degree of resilience against the headwinds provided by turmoil in financial markets. And to the extent that that assessment is correct, it seems to bear out the sort of feedback that we have been picking up from respondents to the survey.
Let's talk about investment first this time. Demand appears to be increasing in many countries, driving up prices and rents as well. Are investors just continuing to search for opportunity in new places, or are there more countries improving to the point of being attractive places to invest?
I think that there's a number of different trends going on here. First of all, it's fair to say that there is a lot of money sitting on the sidelines looking for a home. And I think, actually, interestingly, the turmoil we're seeing in financial markets helps strengthen the case for real estate, because it is seen to be more perhaps tied in with the global economy, and also provides perhaps a better stream of income, and therefore perhaps might be seen as providing more security for investors. That said, we're quite well aware, and we've got some indications in this survey, that money from the Middle East that was looking for opportunities elsewhere around the globe is now returning home, as the impact of that complete collapse in oil prices really begins to become more and more visible across large parts of the Middle East, and really begins to impact on economic activity in the regions. And I think a lot of those markets which are tied into commodities are also finding that there is increasing pressure on finance, and some of the sort of the monies that might have been earmarked for investment overseas previously, these opportunities might be viewed as being perhaps a little bit too high risk in the current environment.
So what are some of the countries where investors are pulling back from?
If you look at, say, Canada as an example, you will find that our numbers over the course of a year or so have begun to sort of turn more and more negative in Canada. We're finding they're also more negative in Australia. Now, none of those things are really a surprise. Australia, to be fair, actually, is reasonably flat, but Canada is certainly more negative. South Africa has become more negative. And then areas like the UAE and the more obvious sort of candidates, Brazil, obviously Russia, Hong Kong, attached to China, these sorts of areas are seeing shifts in investment interest, and it's reflected in the data that we're getting back.
Okay, and are there any new investment targets on the flip side?
I mean, I think it's more of the same in the way that the preference really is for those markets that are, as I say, in recovery phase. So the likes of those European stories, the Ireland, Spain, Portugal story, you know, obviously some of those markets are quite small, but they're still seen as being worth looking at. The more solid stories of Europe around Germany, and then also, I suppose, you know, the Anglo-Saxon non-commodity producers are still viewed as being not necessarily markets that are attractive on valuation criteria, but markets that are seen as being places to park money and pick up good quality assets, even if they are now perhaps perceived as dear. So the UK and the US are still attracting investment.
The old kind of safety markets.
Yeah. I mean, where the occupier side is more challenging, but where investment appetite is reasonably or positive is France, or the Paris market in particular, where we are finding that there are more buyers going into that market looking for good quality assets, even if the underlying economic momentum is still a bit questionable and reflected in slightly downbeat figures, continuing downbeat figures on our occupier side of the survey. And that, you know, will run pretty closely, I think, with what we're being told is reasonable to expect on the capital value side. So sort of implying a broadly stable cap rate picture. But, you know, clearly, you know, the market isn't at a cheap position to start with.
Your report offers a chart tracking the percent of respondents viewing their market as approaching the peak overall. Now we're getting a little bit away from just investment. But no market appears to have reached even 50%. So it seems like we have a way to go still in this cycle. Would you consider that an accurate assessment?
I think that that seems to be the perception of lots of respondents. They seem to view even those in markets where they view valuations as a little stretched. There doesn't generally seem to be a belief that the markets are about to roll over. One might take the view that this is rather optimistic, perhaps a little fanciful against the background in which, you know, financial markets are selling off so aggressively and interest rates beginning to go up in the US, perhaps to, you know, China slowing quite sharply. There's enough global risks there. But on the other hand, if you buy into the sort of forecast that the IMF have updated and seem to point to fairly solid growth, and if you also take the view that, you know, interest rates at the best are going to go up very gradually, even in those economies that advanced in the cycle, and may go up now more slowly than was previously anticipated in the likes of the US, UK perhaps, then perhaps the feedback that we're getting is reasonably accurate, that we are perhaps not quite at that peak moment in the cycle. There is more to go for, but it probably does need to, in many of these markets, be underpinned by rental growth rather than relying on capital values continuing to lead the way.
It's been nice to see Spain and Ireland and Japan continuing to improve. And last time we talked about Portugal improving, and then the Netherlands and the Czech Republic as well. Do you expect that to continue this year?
Well, I mean, to the extent that the ECB still seems to be minded to provide more support for the Eurozone economy, it would not seem unreasonable to see some of that money sort of filtering into the real estate sector. I mean, that seems to have been the lesson that we've picked up, that where central banks are most active, that real estate markets and asset markets, at least equities as well, until fairly recently, responded most positively. So I think that with the ECB most likely to continue to try and provide the environment for further injections of money in one form or another, that many of those European markets may continue to be beneficiaries as that translates into relatively decent growth numbers and improving underlying fundamentals both in the occupier market and in the investor market.
And Japan?
Japan remains a bit of a sort of strange story. It continues to give us positive readings. It's you know, an economy that still seems to be in that transition phase. You know, a lot of discussions about whether or not the sort of the Abenomics strategy really has delivered or not. Question marks certainly over it. The Bank of Japan under pressure to keep monetary policy as loose as possible to try and support economic activity. We're being told that a lot of that is translating into a good news story, particularly in Tokyo. So the feedback we're getting is still very positive, actually, and it's been an ongoing story in Japan through the last couple of years.
And then there are the BRICS countries, most of which have been struggling and seem likely to continue. Can you talk about that?
I think as far as BRICS are concerned, the story again has been fairly well established. I mean, Brazil seems to be under ever-increasing pressure, and that is reflected in the feedback that we're getting. Similarly, Russia and the further falls in oil and commodity prices during Q4 will have done nothing to improve the mindset of those responding to the survey. China, obviously, well, we know, and we've discussed briefly the unfolding events in China as well, and that is sort of very firmly in that bottom left-hand quadrant, which is the negative quadrant as far as the real estate markets are concerned. And South Africa, obviously, for the same sort of reasons, as you know, in terms of commodities, also slipping into that area. One of the BRICS that is bucking the trend, as it was before, really, is India. There's a lot of hope value in that, I think. I mean, India obviously is a beneficiary from lower oil prices, so that's the good news element. I think there's optimism still that, you know, some goodwill. It's begun to diminish a bit, perhaps, that the new government, it's not so new anymore, will deliver on some of its promises. The underlying tone of the economy is still relatively resilient. I'm not sure I believe the headline growth numbers. You know, they were rebased last year and they do look a little bit high given some of the higher frequency indicators, which paint a slightly less robust picture. But nevertheless, India is doing relatively well. It's sort of bucking the trend and it's in that positive quadrant for our results. And if you look on the 12-month view, it moves further up that to the right. So it's really telling us that the respondents do have that hope value that India will come through this. The government will deliver and the structural reforms will pave the way for a better economic performance going forward.
You referenced the UAE earlier, and that's certainly another tough story given its dependence on oil, as you were saying before. What are the prospects there?
In the near term, it's hard to be overly positive. I mean, certainly the numbers have turned around in quite dramatic fashion. And looking at the key indicators of future activity, they're not telling us a very positive story. I mean, certainly on a 12-month view, we're being told that this sort of trend will continue. Even prime locations, we're getting the feedback that values will fall. The picture on a three-year view is more stable. It's pretty flat. But it sounds like that there's not a great deal of optimism that this is going to be a quick turnaround story. And as far as the occupier side is concerned, we're getting the picture that this year is going to be a fairly flat one. There is a bit more optimism, perhaps, that you know you could see rents begin to wedge up on a three-year view. But the overarching position is still really cautious over the course of the next year. And you know, beyond that, I suppose there's maybe a bit of hope that you know oil prices will stabilise and begin to turn around and help a number of those economies. But the UAE numbers at the moment certainly are not suggestive that we're going to see a significant improvement in conditions through the course of 2016.
And finally, the big picture question, what's your outlook for the world in 2016?
My suspicion is that the turmoil we're seeing at the moment is overdone. I'm prepared to believe that the Chinese economy is not about to suffer a major hard landing. I do accept that we are going through a significant transition phase in that economy and there will be turmoil, uncertainty, risk attached to that. But developed economies seemingly still on course for moderate growth, solid if unspectacular. Some of the emerging economies still generating growth. And if China's still at 6%, well, that may not be as good as it was. It may indeed be a bit disappointing, but it's not bad. So I would caution against getting too carried away with the signals being provided by financial markets. If anything, the very fact that it's creating uncertainty and lessening the probability of interest rate hikes suggests that real estate, notwithstanding the risks associated with some of these markets, may actually be relatively well placed to outperform again over the course of the next 12 months.
Okay. Well, we're certainly in an interesting place. I look forward to catching up with you in 3 months and seeing where we are then.